Hey, what's up? Welcome to The Horrible Show. It's Wednesday, August 18th, 2010, and this is the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin, J-Devil, and with me tonight we've got Cole.
What's up?
Tommy.
Hey.
And Ethan.
Hey.
Show some enthusiasm, guys. Nice job. We're all excited to talk about movie games and game movies and movies with games in them and games and movies and games movies. So that'll be today's topic. And we're also going to run through our threesomes of the week, our on-the-spot question, and talk a little bit about the Scott Pilgrim contest that we got going on the site before we get out of here. But first, let's get caught up with everybody and see what you've been watching, listening to, reading, playing, anything that stands out. And Cole, what's had your attention lately?
Well, pretty much after the last podcast, my wife and I wanted to watch a movie, so we got on Netflix and watched Moon with Sam Rockwell. It's pretty interesting. I didn't really like the story a whole lot, but Sam Rockwell was amazing in it.
Didn't like the story?
Nah, not really. I mean, I kind of figured it out real early, and I was just kind of disappointed that it didn't really go anywhere.
You were disappointed that you're smarter than the movie?
Yeah.
It's not the movie's fault, man. It was a good movie.
I mean, its acting was amazing, but I don't know.
Huh. I'd still recommend it to other people.
No, I would too, but I don't, yeah.
What I'm else? Not going to watch it now.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed 2 still. I'm still chugging along in that. Still fun. But I actually read a book last week. I have
does
a Kindle.
Does it have pictures?
Well, they do, but it's shitty on the Kindle. And it's very easy to buy books on there, which is dangerous sometimes. But I've been really into pro wrestling lately, and I decided to buy The Fall of WCW. So it brought me back to when I was in high school reading about all the shit that went down, the rise and fall of World Championship Wrestling.
It was a memorable year in our dorm room.
You got me hooked on pro wrestling. I remember that, and I blame you for like 3 years of my life being like down the toilet.
I'm with you on that, Ethan. I was just about to get into WCW when it fell apart, and I was just like, that was fantastic. Thanks for getting my hopes up. And then,
oh yeah,
I take full credit. and responsibility.
I still remember coming home one break and like some sort of prime time event. I guess it had to have been a Monday night, but it was when Goldberg was at his absolute peak and that place was just sold out. But I just remember it being at our buddy Anuj's house.
Yeah, who didn't ever watch wrestling.
We never watched wrestling as a group, but it was on in the background. It was that big of a deal.
So one night he won the title. I remember that. The first time he won the title.
Goldberg. Ethan, what's been distracting you?
I have been downloading comedians onto my MP3 player, so I went back and listened to some Mitch Hedberg, and rest in peace. He's absolutely hilarious. He's probably got one of the best one-liners in comedy. So there's some nostalgia to that because my roommate and I used to listen to him all the time and watch his Comedy Central specials. So listen to that on my way to work. Watched a movie with...
Hold on. What's the one-liner you like?
Of all of them?
Yeah, you said he has the best one-liner of all time.
Oh, one-liners in general. I mean, he's got a ton. I could try to think of one off the top of my head, but that could take a second. So
he always reminded me of the Kurt Cobain of comedy. That's like the guy looks like he should be in Nirvana. That's how I knew him for the longest time.
That's actually really good. Really good comparison because that's kind of how it ended up with him. So, he's funny. I ran tonight and listened to him. So
how can you run exercise to a comedy CD?
It actually was a tough run. So hindsight's always 20/20 in those situations. We talked about man crushes a while back, and Kevin Costner happens to be one of mine. And I watched one of his movies, The New Daughter, which was a pretty creepy movie. But in the end, it was a lot like Signs. So, nothing new to bring to the table, but still kind of a creepy movie.
Is that a newer movie?
I think maybe I mean, in the last year or so. I don't know if it came out to theaters, to be quite honest with you. If it did, it was out for maybe like a month and a half, maybe. Yeah,
I never heard of it.
Is that the one where he tries to run for president?
No, that's swing vote. And I,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are very opposite movies, by the way. It's a decent movie, though, so check it out if you're really into that kind of creepy backwoods type stuff.
If you're into that creepy backwards type stuff and listening to a podcast about video games,
you'll love that movie. Oh my!
It's like Deliverance.
No, not really. That was a horrible.
With Dances with Wolves
in video games.
Yeah. Take a list of his movies, combine them. That's what you get, New Daughter. Last, I've been playing Doom 3. I got a hankering to play that, and with QuakeCon this week, they actually had a deal on it on Steam, so I downloaded that, played that, messed with the resolution, which made the game look pretty good on my computer. So it's fun. I'm having a good time. That game freaks me out, and it's a jump scare type game, but still, it's still pretty good. It aged quite well.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask that, and it's definitely more of a jump scare game. It's a knock you on your ass scare game for me as one of my favorite scary moments ever in a video game. When I bought that at probably 11 o'clock or midnight one night and came back and installed it and played it for a couple hours with my headphones on, the room just completely dark, and one imp at one point jumped out of whatever corner and literally knocked me out of my chair. Keyboard drawer just disintegrated and the keyboard keys went everywhere, and it was hilarious. I wish somebody would have been able to film that one. Tommy, what's been going on with you?
Well, I wish I could say Scott Pilgrim versus the World for all three of these, but since the Xbox game is not out yet, I can't count that. But definitely movie. Saw Scott Pilgrim versus the World on Friday night and just loved it.
I think our site's kind of supporting that movie a little bit right now.
Yeah, I think so. And then I've been listening to the soundtrack on spinner.com. You can stream it for free because I'm lame. I haven't bought it yet. And then for my game, I've been playing an iPhone game called The Incident that just came out. Really cool game. It's 8-bit art style, and you're playing as this little guy, and all this junk is falling from the sky, and you have to just kind of get out of the way and jump on top of it, and the whole purpose is you're going higher and higher. And it sounds like a simple concept, but it's just really well done and highly recommended.
You're a guy and junk's falling.
Yeah, like pianos, cars, just all kinds of stuff, and it's got really cool music. And so the first level is the street level, and the second level is like, the rooftops, and then it goes all the way up into space. So
cool. From your description, it sounds like Doodle Jump meets Cannibalt.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
The game, pretty much.
That's cool. And but the name makes me think does it have anything to do with that show on NBC that's gonna fail in 1 year called The Event?
I doubt it.
You know, how much was it?
I think it was $1.99. I had heard about it a while back and saw a video, and I signed up for their update whenever it came out. But it's pretty cool. I haven't gotten very far in it because it's pretty hard and I suck at games. So
that's pretty steep for an iPhone game, though. $1.99.
Yeah, I think lately I've been buying more. Like, instead of buying a bunch of 99-cent games, I've been trying to instead just buy, like, $1.99 games, buy three games instead of buying a ton of 99-cent games. And I think it's been working out for me so far, so.
Cool. Anybody else want to cue me in?
Do it!
All right, well, my threesomes of the week. I've been really getting into Tosh.0 lately. I'm a big fan of The Soup, and it took me a while to warm up to Daniel Tosh. But what clinched it for me is I checked out his stand-up that's on Netflix. And
he is hilarious.
I don't know how that guy's still alive. Like, scrawny-ass white dude that makes the most racially insensitive comments I've heard in a long time and just keeps it going. And I love every second of it. So I'm a big fan of his. I think he's coming to Indianapolis soon, but I think it's already sold out. So.
I have one of his older comedy albums I'll send to you. It's great.
Awesome. Is it from 2007?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, send that to me. He's cracking my shit up at the moment.
Is that the Comedy Central Presents?
Yeah.
Is that the one where the greatest episode of Cribs ever?
No.
Okay. And I have a different one.
Nice. How can I plug Scott Pilgrim, since I'm still obsessed with the soundtrack? There's a Scott Pilgrim there's a Scott Pilgrim iPhone game, which is a boxing game that really isn't all that good, but it's free. But I actually checked out the kind of comics viewer of the graphic novels and previewed one of the Scott Pilgrim books on there. And if you don't have the books, I'd recommend checking it out on your iPhone or iPad that way, just because the way it takes you through the story interactively, it is pretty neat how it basically displays the page but zooms in frame by frame and caption by caption like you would be reading it, but in a very slick way. So I recommend checking that out. Games-wise, I have been absolutely obsessed with Shadow Complex and finishing every corner of that game and trying to obliterate every record. And I talked about it a little bit last week. But I've already have my sights set on my next game to do that with, which will be Dead Space, as soon as I finish Shadow Complex here in the next week or so. But I'm trying to get some completionist grades on the giant bomb site when they give you basically letter grades for how many achievements you've gotten compared to everybody else in certain games, and I want to get some more completed games on that. And I saw a bunch of stuff for Dead Space 2 from Gamescom today, and made me want to get back into Dead Space, which is a very underappreciated game for us as good as it was. So it brings us to our on-the-spot question this week. Anytime you talk about video games and movies, the consensus is the movies about video games suck and the games based on movies suck. And so why do you guys think that is? And actually, we'll go in reverse and start with Tommy.
As far as the movie tie-in games, I think it's just always a matter of money, and they're just trying to get something out there really quickly. I think maybe, hopefully, we're seeing that start to change a little bit with, you know, the few good examples like the Scott Pilgrim game coming out, and you know, I heard the Toy Story 3 game was actually decent for the genre that's in.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as movies based on games, I don't know. I mean, you know, how can you make a good movie about a plumber that jumps on turtles? You know, but
I think we'll dissect that later, actually.
Yeah. I think it makes more sense than how they're trying to make movies based on board games now. But I don't know. Hopefully we'll see a good video game-based movie sometime.
Ethan, what do you think?
You know, I think that there's a formula involved with any of this stuff, and I think that what people miss is instead of trying to make a game based on a movie or a movie based on a game completely, they should look to actually continuing a story or branching off, giving yourself more options while also not alienating the video game crowd. Hollywood has absolutely no connection with the video game fan who does not like to be steered in a bad direction, and thus they will never be successful because they need to understand that, you know, A, you got to satisfy the masses, but B, you can't piss off the cult fans, you know, and mm-hmm. they're really good at doing that.
What about you, Cole?
I was just going to say kind of what Tommy was saying. A lot of times the development time for these games are rushed, and that's why the quality sucks. But looking back at GoldenEye, you know, that game came out, if I remember correctly, quite a bit after the movie came out. And, you know, we all have fond memories of that game. So it can be done, but you got to do it on a level where, you know, you can find that hook with the video game crowd that you know, it might have a movie license, but, you know, it's not always a great game. Like Mission Impossible, that was kind of the same thing, both on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I'd agree about the games based on movies that most of it has to do with the budgets and the timeline that they just, you know, they can make movies faster than they can make games, a good game anyway, and especially a lot of these special effects driven movies that need to have a game that reflects that, it's got to be tough to pull off. And I just think they bite off more they can chew than they can chew there. And then on the movies based on the games, kind of the same, that they don't really take into account what the audience really is for the game and why it's popular. And one other thing that annoys me with some of the movies is they don't really warn you, like, in their advertising of where they're trying to go with the series. Like, sometimes if you're going to name your movie the same name as the game, I'm expecting it to be directly related to that story or somewhat similar. But when they go in completely different directions than where the game was focused, that becomes really frustrating as a fan. And I think they need to choose these movies a little bit more carefully rather than just buying the name, because, you know, I've yet to really see, well, I say that now, but I was going to say up till about Prince of Persia, I've yet to see a name that really sold a bunch of movie tickets and made that worth the time rather than actually appealing to the game crowd. But Prince of Persia went on to make a ton of money, and everything I've heard, that's not a very good movie. So
how much do you think that had to do with the name, though, for Prince of Persia?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was Bruckheimer and just the you know, Jake Gyllenhaal and the forces behind it more so than the name Prince of Persia. I think it was.
Yeah.
I think they targeted kids more for that movie than the game really appeals to. So it's kind of surprised by how it performed, actually, especially in comparison to something like Scott Pilgrim. So. All right, moving into our major discussion, what we're going to do is we're going to break the game movies and movie games down into three different sections and just kind of talk about our individual standouts for each category. And what we're going to do is talk about movies that deserve a better game, games that deserve a better movie, or maybe even be developed into a TV series. And then lastly, we're going to talk about movies or games that never should have been made into the other one. So, Cole, you're going to kick us off here with movies that deserve a better game.
Well, growing up, that when we did, everybody seems to love Back to the Future. And I remember one of my neighbors had the Back to the Future game on the NES, and that movie or that game was downright horrible. It was, I don't know if we just sucked at video games at that time, because that could be it, but that game was hard as hell. There was like a skateboarding level. I think we only got to the second level. I don't even think we got past any, because I'm looking here, and apparently there was a DeLorean driving level too, but I know I never got there. But like, you know how in the first movie, he had that picture that was, you know, fading out when he had to go back in time to try to save the picture from fading out and people dying, I guess. It's kind of dark. And you had that in the game too. You had to collect these clocks to restore the photo into its original non-faded status for one level. And if you don't do that, then you die. And it seems like a pretty simple game, but And it kind of reminds me of Paperboy a little bit. It wasn't exactly that kind of isometric view. It was more top-down. But on the levels, you had those kind of obstacles, different people coming out or animals or insects and stuff. But
so did you find yourself more or less focused on collecting the clocks than actually doing whatever else was going on in the level?
Yeah, if I can remember correctly, because that was like the most important thing. And you know, it was just at some point you just like, F this. This game is so hard. You just want to like throw it across the room, take it out of the nest and throw it across the room. But so, yeah, the obstacles were very frustrating trying to get the clocks too.
So Back to the Future comes out on Blu-ray. What type of game should accompany it?
That is a very good question. third person based shooter with a cover mechanic. It could be a mixture of a lot of things. You know, you definitely have to have a skateboarding level of some sort. You have to have a driving level. I don't know if you could just get by doing one game for. I think it has to be a combination of all three of the movies to make it a worthwhile game. Because, I mean, just the different eras of the timeline of Back to the Future can make a pretty interesting game.
I'm seeing almost more episodic, downloadable, smaller titles then that.
Right. Yeah. Like
maybe you do one for each era: the Wild West, the 50s, and then the future.
Yeah, that seems good. And you can. I mean, there's different games that have come out. In the past couple of years, that would make an interesting collaboration with all of Back to the Future. I mean, you could have your Rock Band Guitar Hero section with the Johnny B. Goode song, or
that's it.
Racing game, and
that's it. You got for the 50s, we do the Rock Band clone. For the for the future, I'm seeing more of a Tony Hawk type thing with the hoverboards. The
hoverboard, yes.
And then Red Dead Redemption, obviously. For
yes, there you go. Those games have been made already.
Right. So got that sorted out. But you've got this one has Doc Brown in it and a flux capacitor and a DeLorean. So
you have to have him screaming 1.21 gigawatts at some point in that game.
Christopher Lloyd's in the trailer for the Piranha 3D movie.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, that was the best part about seeing The Expendables was that moment in that trailer. Just because I was like, it's fucking Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, it was downhill from there. Ethan, what do you got?
This was kind of a stretch. This was a tough one, but actually Land of the Dead. Not a lot of people like that movie. I like the movie. The game was awful. I mean, it was awful. They put absolutely no effort into it. I rented it. I played it for maybe 15 minutes, and I took it right back.
All right, well, take me back, though. Which movie is this?
Land of the Dead was the most recent of the Dead movies from George Romero. It was set, after the zombie apocalypse has happened, based around a big tank called Dead Reckoning, that sort of thing. The rich and poor struggle. It was not his best movie, but a good movie.
Yeah. And then what was the gameplay like?
The game was first-person shooter, like everybody goes back to. There's something about the first-person shooter is like the easy way out, and there's been some great first-person shooters. GoldenEye is a good example of that, but it's an easy way out with a game like that. I would have loved to see a survival horror slash resource management type game, the movie was about that. It was about getting supplies to a city that was trying to survive, again, the undead apocalypse. A first person shooter just didn't really fit in with it. And not only that, but the production value was abysmal. It was a prequel, and yet it came out after the movie. I mean, switch that up a little bit, get people pumped for the movie, and make a game based on the movie. That's where I think, again, some of these video games that come out aren't just completely lose sight of the movie, And it was frustrating because, again, I love those kind of zombie movies, and it's really tough for me not to like a zombie game. I did not like this zombie game.
I'm almost picturing. Sorry, I'm going to keep doing this just because I don't know enough about the game itself, but I almost pictured from what you were describing, like a Fallout 3 meets Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. It's,
and then like these locations on your map have like timers or resource gauges associated with them that you've got to make some tough decisions out of which cities you save and that type of thing, or which groups of people you save. Because the zombie genre is just as crowded in games as it is in movies lately. And you don't want to go in Dead Rising's area, and you don't, Left 4 Dead is pretty much as good as it's going to get on that side. So you've got to do something a little bit different.
Most definitely.
Tommy, what you got?
Probably my favorite movie of all time is Jurassic Park.
I'd stand by that.
Just any time I try to think of my favorite movies, that always comes back as number one.
Which scene? What is the one Jurassic Park moment for you?
I guess just the iconic scene, you know, when their Jeeps break down in front of the T-Rex cage and that comes out. But I mean, really just the whole movie.
Yeah. Just curious.
And so I was like 8 when that came out, and I remember playing a computer game based on the first movie, and it was that, you know, that top down view, just, you know, kind of boring, like not very well done. But I was always interested in Jurassic Park games, and I've played just about all of them. And I just don't think that it's ever really had a good game.
Did you play the arcade one?
The one,
yeah,
where
that was
on-rail shooter?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, but...
No, I think you're absolutely... There's no standout Jurassic Park game. For as monumental as that movie was, it doesn't have a game equivalent in it. You know, there... What game... What? With dinosaurs, there isn't a game with dinosaurs that has that moment for us, you know.
Primal Rage?
Do you remember the computer game Trespasser that came out?
No.
I'm not sure what year that was, but that was like an official Jurassic Park, like almost like a sequel. It was an original story they came up with. And I'm not sure, they probably spent a shit ton of money on it because it was like... kind of an open world game, and you were playing as this chick, I think, that was voiced by it doesn't matter, but it was really cool because there were no on-screen like health meters or anything like that, and you were just wandering around, but I think it got really bad reviews, and it was kind of like impossible because a T-Rex could just come out of nowhere. But yeah, just it hasn't had. I think it needs a good combination. You know, a first-person shooter could be fine as long as it mixed in, you know, the survival aspects of the movie.
Yeah.
Kind of an open world, but with an end goal of getting off the island. I think that'd be really cool.
It also needs to integrate something where you learn about the dinosaurs and have to adapt your strategy based on which one is around you. So I think that was kind of a big. Big thing in the books, anyway. Did anybody play the Dino Crisis games? That was kind of big around the original Resident Evil area.
Yeah, I remember playing the first one.
But I think that's the only other dinosaur game that stands out. But it's like I said, you have these kind of monumental figures growing up, like, you know, vampires, dinosaurs, zombies, and I don't think dinosaurs have gotten their due in video games. So.
Yeah.
My choice. For movie that deserves a better video game would be the Matrix series, or the Matrix 1 if you want to pretend that that's the only one, and that's fine. The tie-in game, I think it was called Enter the Matrix, sold really well just because everybody was buying up Matrix stuff, but it, you know, it was played off two kind of side characters of the story and tried to tell more about the Matrix and what was going on, and the gameplay was just clunky, and it, you know, people wanted to like it, and it wasn't a good game, and there's a lot you can do with the action from the Matrix. And then you had the Matrix Online, the MMO, which I won't really touch. It's just more or less hindered from the limitations of MMOs, and it was fine for what it was, but it isn't that definitive Matrix game. And the idea that popped in my head out of what I would want to see would be you're either playing as Neo as he's gaining his powers and gaining control over everything, or as one of the other members of that party that you can, you know, I could almost see you playing as Morpheus, and you can kind of call Neo in when you want to, but kind of a combination of Crackdown, where you kind of level up all of your powers, and I'm picturing like an open world game with objectives that are very very time based, especially early on when you have to, you know, get to the exits at certain times or accomplish tasks by certain times because you have to compensate for what's going on in the real world. And that idea looks like it has a lot of potential fun gameplay, and that's really what stood out to me was that you needed to somehow blend that the Matrix with the real world and give the gameplay some stress related to trying to work in both at the same time, and much more so than just your typical character action game. No one cares about the Matrix.
I mean, that sounds like a fun game. I remember seeing some video of the Matrix Online, and I think, did you buy Enter the Matrix, Justin, when it came out?
No, I got really close to buying it. Just I bought the Animatrix. I was all about everything.
I think I've seen that somewhere. I don't remember. Maybe I rented it, or was it just on PC? I don't remember.
I remember going to some frat houses, and they were playing it whenever we would show up, but none of our inner circle was really playing the game actively.
Yeah.
Those reviews were just so bad, it pushed me off enough.
I could see a Crackdown-like game, or, any Matrix game with a RPG type element where you're gaining power ups and stuff as you go along would be interesting, but I think it definitely has to be an open world situation. And
yeah, I guess
sub menu when you're on the ship back in Zion or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean that the end of the Matrix game just seemed too contrived, too small and focused on just whatever was going on in front of the characters rather than dealing with the entire Matrix and the entire real world scenarios. So I think that's what it was really missing besides being fun to play and being a good game. Moving on to games that deserve a better movie. Actually, Tommy, we're going to start with you on this one.
Okay. Sorry.
You're fine.
Cut out. I didn't hear the intro to that section.
No, we're good.
All right. I picked The Legend of Zelda. I know it had a TV series that was really annoying, but probably of all the video games from growing up, that one just seems like one that has the potential to be a decent movie just in the universe. The visuals and, I don't know how they would do all the puzzles and everything, but I remember, I think it was IGN a few years ago for April Fool's Day, they had a fake trailer for a Zelda movie, and it was actually pretty cool. But I don't know. I just like to see somebody give it a shot, but I think Nintendo got kind of burnt out with Hollywood after something we're going to talk about here in a little bit.
Well, my question with Zelda, I don't know, it needs to be shown in some other medium. Well, I mean, I remember the TV series. My main issue is I'm really interested to see, can they pull it off with doing a silent protagonist? Would be if they could do that, that would make it really stand out. But then you don't get the "excuse me, princess." which the movie would definitely need. So,
I think I could see it as a computer animated movie before a live action, but I think either could be cool.
I think the Land of Hyrule needs to be explored a little bit further outside of the game. I'd agree. Cole, what you got?
I got the Final Fantasy series. I know I've watched the Advent Children, or I think that's what it's called, the Final Fantasy VII based CG movie, and also The Spirits Within, and I just think that Final Fantasy would be better served as a TV series. You have the length of a 22 to 24 episode season, or if it's on like HBO or a cable network, you could have a 13 episode season and be a lot darker than a network. I think it needs to be in a classic Final Fantasy kind of setting, in the fantasy setting. I think it could, really work. It could be one of those cheesy Xena, Hercules, type shows, but you know, it could also turn into something a lot greater than that.
I had an interesting idea when you were talking through that, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier in one of our email threads, was that because there's no relationship between the different Final Fantasy games, you could do a series that basically encapsulates one game, not necessarily any of the games that have been created, but then the next season could be totally unrelated, like,
yeah,
and find some common themes to go through. But I think that would do the Final Fantasy name quite right.
Yeah, you just can't pack in all the information that is in a Final Fantasy game in a 2-hour movie. Even if you do have like a side story like the Final Fantasy VII movie, it's just
that's
convoluted and confusing as hell.
Yeah, taking an RPG or, you know, any game that's over 10 or 12 hours and trying to compress it into a 2-hour movie, that's what, you know, deflates me about the possibility of a 24 movie, like being as big of a fan of the TV series as I was when it was good. You know, I just can't imagine compressing that into 2 hours. So,
right.
And that's seems to be a recipe for disaster. But you may have said this, but what do you think, live action or CG?
Oh, I think live action would be a lot better. I know there's not been a lot of success with the sword and sorcery type TV shows. Although HBO's gonna have one next year based on the Fire and Ice series, that looks really interesting, of books. So we'll see how that does, and then maybe it'll be a lot more popular. But
cool. Ethan, what jumps out to you?
Doom. Doom was not a science fiction action game, but it was made into a science fiction action movie. No matter what anybody says, the Doom games were built around, you know, there's action in it, don't get me wrong, and there's science fiction, but there's an element of being alone. There's an element of, you know, never ending, you know, creatures in hell and all of this kind of stuff, and this whole idea that one man is against, you know, the whole brunt of what hell has to offer. And the movie missed it completely. They had some bullshit story about, you know, good versus evil, and they didn't touch upon the whole aspect of hell, which is the most intriguing part of those games. You know, it was too bright. It was too actiony. You put the Rock in a movie, and it's going to go to shit anyway.
Hey, easy.
I disagree.
The Tooth Fairy
was awesome.
I mean, okay, you set the movie up to suck. Maybe he makes it better, but you add him to Doom, you just can't take the guy seriously. And the cast of characters was way too animated for how gritty the game was, and the game was just pure grit the whole way through. Nobody was clean looking. Nobody was happy. And everybody in the movie was kind of joking around, you know. And I just they missed the point completely.
Did you want it more like a type of grit that's in like the Aliens movies? Do you think that would work better?
The two movies that I would compare it to is find a happy medium between Alien and Aliens, okay, and then add a little bit of the elements from Event Horizon, if anybody's ever seen that.
Yeah, of course.
Which touched on the hell and the demonic power and something being just purely above humans. Not just I'm fighting a creature I can shoot and kill, but I'm fighting something that, you know, is above anything that I can, you know, wrap my head around.
What did you think about the
huh?
What did you think about the first person? I've never seen Doom, so I can't really. I just remember them talking about the first person section of the movie.
It was tacked on, you know. It was like let's okay, we got to throw a shout out to the Doom games. You know, that's how I felt, and it just the movie wasn't horrible, but that part of it, I just it brought focus to all the bad parts of it, and I just thought, you know what? Again, this is just people trying to appeal to an audience that, you know, would have been happy with seeing a scary ass movie about demons and some guy doing his best to, you know, rock some shit. You know what I mean? And it didn't happen.
It seemed like it had such a simple formula, and then they overthought it and tried to make it, you know, again, tried to make it appeal to everybody, and it appealed to nobody, and it was just came across as silly. Yep. And
but did The Rock do the rock bottom in it?
I think he did. There's almost a wrestling match at the end.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's a bad fight scene. I mean, it's a bad, bad fight scene. It was, again, that over-the-top stuff. Doom, there's not hand-to-hand combat in Doom unless there's a chainsaw involved.
Are you really going to fight a fire-breathing demon hand-to-hand? Well, no.
I mean, it was dumb how they... And one guy was pure good, one guy was pure evil. They injected themselves with, you know, demon juice, and then they had this, like, you know, it was dumb. I mean, it was dumb.
Yeah, it was all an excuse to have this superhuman fight at the end where they could wrestle.
And oh, yeah.
I think he might have actually rock bottomed him, Cole. Like, it.
I would hope so.
I have to go back and I'll go
or
back.
Or at least the people's elbow.
No elbow. No elbow. But
no blade elbow.
there was some sort of slam that I'm picturing in my head, but we'll have to go back and look at the tape. So.
Hey, I just thought of something, just kind of a sidebar. Did they ever make a Blade game?
Yeah.
Did they?
Any good?
Yep. I do remember that.
On what?
I'm thinking 360, but I'm gonna Google that because I remember playing the Buffy Vampire. Not 360, Xbox.
Okay, it's like the movies aren't that recent. Blade game. I was guessing it was like a Game Boy game. I've seen a PC version that looks flat out awful on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, PS1, GameCube. It looks like or Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
Over-the-shoulder action game looks pretty awful.
All right, I don't know why that popped into my head, but it did.
Oh, that looked to be... Okay. I was looking at the PC game, looks to be based off the comics, and then you've got the official licensed Blade 1 PlayStation 1 game that doesn't even have any images. Anyway. Yeah, that could have been interesting as a game, but doesn't make my list anyway. As far as my game that deserves a better movie... It's kind of the same vein as Doom and kind of goes back to my original frustration of taking not understanding what a game actually is and distorting it for the audience. And even though I actually enjoyed the first movie of this series, I've been really frustrated with where the Resident Evil movies have gone and just creating characters, creating Alice and having that series continue on even to today is just frustrating to see that, especially after, you know, I have very, very distinct memories of the first Resident Evil game and that, you know, that experience playing that game in the dark defined survival horror for me for the longest time. And then since then, Resident Evil 4 and 5 have kind of redefined what the Resident Evil games are, but they're still not matching up with what the movies are. And take one or the other. Give me my survival horror mansion creepy movie, or give me the more, the more action-oriented movie that deals more with these viruses and of that doesn't make... You know, your traditional zombies like the viruses in 4 and 5 have done. And I just, there's more interesting content in the Resident Evil series than what they did with the Umbrella Corporation stuff to make the movie so science fiction and almost, you know, I gave up on the series after 2. I've heard that Resident Evil 3 isn't unwatchable like the second one.
She gets like some kind of magic powers though in the third. That's kind of what lost me. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like the same thing with Doom. Like I think maybe they think that everybody in the United States of America wants to see people with magical powers like fight around in movies. And it's like back to that whole Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon thing that we mentioned it like a couple weeks back, but I don't want to see superhumans fighting zombies because that takes the whole idea of zombies away. Zombies win because they overpower you, but they can't overpower you if you can, you know, use telekinesis and that kind of crap. And that's where, again, Resident Evil lost the whole idea. And I mean, I see 5 and I see the movies kind of in the same vein. I liked 5. The movies entertained me, but to me, those were not Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
They completely went in a different direction that, again, I remember Resident Evil 1. It was a scary game. Yeah. I want to see a Resident Evil game or Resident Evil movie that is scary, that has you on the edge of your seat, and it's not just, you know, again, reasons to use pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, drop somebody, like, one person into a mansion with zombies. That's all you need.
And have them figure out what the hell's going on.
Right.
Yep, it's not that hard. Our last section here is talking about movies or games that never should have been made into the other one. And Ethan, we're going to start with you.
And I feel like I'm pigeonholing myself completely into the whole genre.
You've already done that, sir.
That's fine. Just run with it. Just run with it.
I'm going to go with, I just think that some games don't, can't be applied to a movie, and a light gun shooter is one of those. House of the Dead, U-Bowl did it, and we all know who he is, and those that don't, he basically makes every video game into a movie, and they always suck, and he's over the top, and it's almost patronizing the way that he treats, you know, the video game to movie treatment that he has. He did Far Cry as well. I believe he did Dead or Alive. The House of the Dead movie literally featured gameplay or clips from gameplay just interwoven. It was during that period of time where the zombie movies were starting to pick up, but also the teeny bop slasher movies were coming. So they combined those two together and they came up with something that was complete garbage, and it was completely stupid. He should have never touched on that. Again, the zombie genre didn't need another zombie movie, especially one that took all the steam out of what a zombie is. It was a goofy movie, and the House of the Dead movies could have been made into a, or House of the Dead games could have been made into a decent movie, but I think that you'd be pushing, you know. That's one of those, maybe a 30-minute, you know, short, but not a movie.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on the light gun games. Those, I mean, it's taking an arcade game that they're not made to have a big storyline behind them or a big universe behind them. It's just quick, you know, drop your quarters in and play type of scenario, and that there's not enough there to make a movie. And just to defend Dead or Alive, not that it's a good movie, but it's not an Uwe Boll movie.
So, oh, it isn't? Okay. Yeah,
just wanted to throw that
funny
out there.
Kind of a funny thing about him is, you know, with the million video game adaptations he's made, it's kind of funny that he made a movie called Rampage, but that's not based on the Rampage
game. Oh, that would be a good one, though.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Would it?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy, what's your movie, game, whatever?
Well, I, you know, this is the, when I first read about this section, I thought, well, you know, there's no way I'm going to get this before anybody else gets it. But Super Mario Brothers, I think, is the ultimate, what the hell, why'd they do this, you know? I don't remember the first time I saw it, and chances are I probably liked it for some reason when I was little. But, you know,
Nintendo,
it's obviously,
told you too, that's why.
Yeah. You know, Bob Hoskins is Mario. Cool. You know,
young John Leguizamo.
Yeah. But, you know, they decided to make it, you know, try to make it real. And, you know, Dennis Hopper as Koopa, but he's human, you know, and like just the whole thing with the fungus in the sewer, you know, it's just like they had a laundry list, like they had to include, you know, mushrooms, but instead they chose fungus, and they had to include Yoshi somehow, and, you know, and I don't know, just basically they were plumbers, and that was like the only actual thing it had in common with the games.
Yeah, it does seem like they had this list of, okay, we have to have this stuff to make it a Mario movie, but how do we make it more realistic? And who the hell was asking for that?
Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, of course, there were the cartoons, too, which were, I guess, what you would expect of a cartoon based on the Mario games. But, like, I almost want to see something that embraces the fact that you can't really make a Mario movie that is serious and just have a really campy, goofy, like, computer animated or live action, just something that, you know, is just super cheesy on purpose.
I'd watch that. As long as it's self-aware, I'll watch any of this stuff, but none of it, they're all self-serious. And yeah, Super Mario Brothers should have stayed in the cartoons, and, you know, that's already been done, so it doesn't need a movie translation at all.
Yeah.
How do you go from the Mushroom Kingdom to some futuristic dystopia? I never got that. Out of anything in that movie, I couldn't wrap my head around. It's, you went from a pleasant little land with little smiley clouds, and then you have the future that's a desert and there's dinosaurs. I'm like, what?
A future that reminded me of Mars on Total Recall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or Judge Dredd or Demolition Man. Or,
yeah.
I think it fell into this trend in the 90s with these dystopian movies. Like, Demolition Man and Judge Dredd, and there was just a shit ton of them in the 90s. And
we need to make Total Recall for kids. How about Super Mario Brothers?
And, you know, the whole thing with his, like, that Koopa was trying to de-evolve people, and he had the, like, the goons that had dinosaur faces. And
you mean the Goombas?
Goombas.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't think they tried to include a turtle anywhere in the movie, but...
Yeah, I can't remember if there's a Koopa or not. There's the random Ba-Bomb that isn't changed. Like,
yeah, that was pretty cool. But I do remember that I loved the action figures, though, but that's another story.
you do have that problem.
Yeah.
Cole, what about you?
Well, my movie is on the same kind of level that Super Mario Brothers is, and that is Double Dragon. This movie, I mean, how do you make a movie based on a side-scroller brawler? You can't. And they tried.
I think Bad Dudes would work.
Maybe Bad Dudes. Got to save the president.
Have a hamburger with the president.
Yeah. But they're
still
surprisingly...
waiting for the River City Ransom game movie.
I'm working on it.
Surprisingly, there is some known people in this movie. Robert Patrick, he played the baddie.
Really?
Togo Shuko. And everybody's favorite chairman from... oh, my God. I can't believe I just lost my train of thought. The food contest. Not Top Chef. What's that food?
Oh, yeah.
MasterChef?
Iron Chef, yeah. Mark DeCascos, he was Jimmy Lee, and his brother with a different mother was Scott Wolf of television's V as Billy Lee. And yeah, Scott Wolf. he knows karate. I don't even know what to say. Alyssa Milano's in it. She was the love interest, I guess. It's like Robert Patrick turns into this shadow. I think in the game, is the boss a shadow?
I don't remember.
Guy? I don't remember either. I've never got that far in Double Dragon, but he can turn into a shadow. Like the whole movie is like trying, or the brothers have these two necklaces that are split in half, and when they come together, they become powerful. If I remember correctly, they know karate now. It's bad. It's real bad.
And
looking through the IMDb credits, there are two characters who are henchmen, and one of them's name is Huey, and the other one is Lewis. So I stand corrected. The movie is awesome.
Is anybody named the news?
I don't see that.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
Vanna White is the Channel 102 news anchor.
Vanna White's. How do you make a movie fail that has Vanna White and Alyssa Milano in it? You base it on a brawler, and the other genre that you shouldn't make a movie based off of is the fighting genre. And other than Mortal Kombat, which has enough fiction around it to work and did work as the first watchable video game movie, Street Fighter wasn't even close, though. And to the point that I didn't even go see it, but it's got enough bad reviews that I'm comfortable making that statement that it never should have been made. And it also, it's unfortunately to be Raul Julia's final movie, who didn't deserve that. And all you got to know is Jean-Claude Van Damme is the lead role as Guile in that movie. And his inspirational speech is the one YouTube clip that stands out to me as to just why you can't take this movie seriously. And it's when your action from the game just focuses on something so arcadey, you can't build a story around it for it to make sense. At least Mortal Kombat lends itself to setting up a tournament, but they tried to at least include that in the movie. But you know, Street Fighter, they try to, you know, turn it into this, you know, good countries versus bad countries type of
scenario. Bring down the Shadaloo organization with the UN.
It's just not tangible enough for movie crowds.
I secretly love that movie, actually. It's I don't know why. It's horrible. It's one of those like bad movies that you love, you know, like a bunch of 80s movies are, and it is awful, but I love it.
I don't even know how to relate to you anymore. It's
Well, it's a good thing we're not related then.
Maybe I'd understand, though.
Maybe
I could like Street Fighter.
Yeah, but you never even watched it. You gotta watch it.
No, I don't. I can make outlandish statements against things that are awful by not actually partaking in them.
There's a speedboat section in the movie where they had to avoid like water bombs. Dude, you gotta watch it.
I remember that scene in Street Fighter. Do they beat up a car?
I don't remember.
They need to beat up a car.
But they create Blanca in like a lab. It's pretty awesome.
Although I will say the one thing about Street Fighter is there's some of those fan-made stuff going around on YouTube that in the past year that's been actually pretty interesting. But again, the, they're having to create the story around these characters a lot more than it's fleshed out, and especially in the historical Street Fighter. They've added a little bit more to Street Fighter 4, but still not enough to make a movie out of.
What was confusing to me is in the Street Fighter movie is like people who I always thought were good people were bad guys in that movie.
Like Ken and Ryu.
Yeah.
Ken and Ryu were bad in the movie?
DJ was bad too. And E. Honda wasn't. No, Honda wasn't bad. No,
yeah, Ken and Ryu were like kind of like con men, kind of, weren't they?
Yeah,
kinda
yeah, they were.
Players, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
How do you make Ryu bad? That's just. You lost all of your audience. You've made an unwatchable movie for people that don't know the source material, and all the source material people are pissed off at you.
Yeah, I can't remember who else was like the switch, like bad to good, but that's what was confusing to me in that movie, besides the whole movie in general.
All right, that's enough movie games. Let's talk about Scott Pilgrim. On HorribleNight.com right now through the 31st, we have a Scott Pilgrim versus the box office contest going on. And what we're looking to do is just to get the word out about the movie and encourage people to go see it and encourage other people to go see it. And hopefully, you know, you bring a friend, they bring a friend, and they go see the movie again. And the movie will actually stay in theaters a little bit longer and not become a box office bust because it didn't perform very well in its opening weekend, which is a shame because the critics like it and everybody associated with the books and the source material seems to like it a lot, and I can vouch for the movie. Very, very fun. Took my roommate who hadn't read the books. He loved it, and you know, hopefully I'm going to go see it a couple more times. But I just, you know, I got really frustrated because I actually did a double feature of Scott Pilgrim and The Expendables, and The Expendables made three times as much money as Scott Pilgrim, and The Expendables is a terrible, terrible movie. We were hoping it was at least going to be bad to the point that it was funny, but it's not even enjoyable.
It's not even bad like Commando is bad.
No, like it is just flat. It is.
Whoa.
It is just.
Commando is not bad.
No, I don't. I love Commando.
John Matrix is the greatest name of a superhero ever.
No one's dissing Commando.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's so bad that it's good, kind of, Commando.
You mean good that it's bad, to the bone. I disagree.
And I was hoping Expendables would be, like, an 80s action movie where it's, like, hella cheesy and bad like that, but that's disappointing to hear.
Yeah. So I got really, really frustrated by that Scott Pilgrim is just not making any money to get any attention, and to me that just says they won't be encouraged to make more movies like that or develop more graphic novels to inspire things like that. And it's the movie itself is just a really good, it represents early video game culture and geek culture and how we've all grown up, and it needs some help right now, and that's all we're really hoping to do is help to get the word out. We've got a Facebook page set up trying to get a bunch of fans for that, and get people posting on Twitter, and if we get up to 400 shares on either of those combined, we're going to give away a copy of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, for either the PS3 or the Xbox 360. So there's details on the site of how to enter, but if you have entered and you have commented, share it with your friends and go see the movie and talk about it more, and you know, try to take this next week or so to you know, somehow get somebody's attention that maybe we can actually drive an audience to the movie, or if not, just go enjoy the movie while you can. So
yeah,
I think that movie will find a huge audience on on DVD when it finally comes out, because, you know, stereotypical video game fans, they don't leave their house.
Yeah, so. But we're not gonna get a $90 million budgeted movie again.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's true.
I mean, I understand we do all wait till we can watch it on our computers or back at home, but we're not going to get the production values if we're not going to go see it in the theater. And it's worth seeing in theater. It's worth seeing with a crowd of people that enjoy it. And
Edgar Wright needs to be supported because he's absolutely made some fabulous
movies.
Yeah,
definitely.
Director Shaun of the Dead and
Hot Fuzz.
Do you think maybe the demographic just hasn't gotten their allowance yet for this week?
I hope so. I think they were told to play outside all weekend.
I do want to see that movie. It looks good.
Go ahead, Tommy.
I don't know. It just pisses me off because it's like it's the movie for our generation that Hollywood never would have known how to make on their own. And now that it's not doing well, they're never going to think of that as the type of movie for our generation. Like, instead, they're going to say, let's give them, you know, shitty movies based on G.I. Joe and Transformers. When really, if they just make a good movie that embraces our culture and the references that we, you know, we understand, you know, I just felt like it was the first movie that was really aimed at us.
That's how I feel. We'll put Tommy. Better comparison. Forget Expendables. It's just the direct one from the weekend. But yeah, we're gonna get more G.I. Joes and Transformers before we get any more Scott Pilgrims. And
yeah,
that's disappointing. And then last thing I wanted to say was, folks in Indianapolis, we're probably gonna be organizing a viewing here in the next week. So be on the lookout for that coming up.
Don't call it a viewing though, because that makes it sound like a funeral. It's a party.
It's a
celebration of Scott Pilgrim.
It's a geek out, my friends.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go one more time around the internet table and get any shout outs that you guys want to hit up before we take off. Starting with Tommy.
Okay. I didn't want to include this as my movie because I wanted to talk about Scott Pilgrim as much as possible. But I finally caught the really quirky French movie called A Town Called Panic. It's on Netflix streaming if you haven't seen it. Really hard to describe, basically.
It's French.
It's French, and I guess it's a TV series there, but it looks like it's filmed with these little miniatures like you would see like in a model train town is basically what everything looks like. And it's just this bizarre story, and the voice act, it's about a cowboy, an Indian, and a horse that live together in a house. And it's just, I don't know, it's just something that you just have to experience.
Can you say that again, just so it can sink in?
Yeah, it's a cowboy named Cowboy. They're all just cowboy, Indian, and horse. And it's pretty awesome, though.
Sold.
Yeah. It looks funny. I just looked it up. It actually, the intro looks funny.
Yeah, it's wild.
Ethan, what do you want to talk about?
I'm going to stick with the zombie theme here. Whoa, what is that?
You're going to run out of zombie material.
Oh, I absolutely. This is the last one. Nation Red, a quick, fun, this could harken back to the conversation we had about a quick, fun game that you could play. Pick it up 2 minutes at a time. Multiplayer, it's top down, it's just fun. It reminds me of Smash TV, which was a game I really liked, and it's got zombies in it. Again, I love the zombies.
So it's a PC?
It is a PC. I'm such a PC snob with Steam, but okay. It was PC, and yeah.
Steam, and how much? Was it a part of one of your packs?
Yeah, it came with, I just discovered it, so I'm looking through some of the packs that I bought. I'm like, oh, I haven't played this game yet, so I've got kind of been rehashing Steam for a while, so I've been very compulsive with my playing as of late.
Cool. Cole, what's on your mind?
I think I mentioned it maybe a week ago or sometime, but the new Lara Croft game, or Lara Croft, The Guardian of the Light, is coming out. Is it this week, Justin?
Yes.
Yeah, last game in the summer.
Today, when
we
put the podcast up.
Okay. And they're not shipping it with co-op like advertised. They're going to wait until the PSN game comes out to update the Xbox Live Arcade game with co-op, and that sucks. That sucks real bad.
It's really really got to be frustrating for Microsoft, because it was another flagship title for that Summer of Arcade, and then they pulled that last minute trick. But they did kind of make up for it. I read an article that the first batch of DLC, the first of five batches of DLC for this game, will be free for 30 days for Xbox.
Oh, nice.
So that's how they're trying to make up for it. It's frustrating, but at the same time, it gives me a chance to play through it by myself before I go back to get everything on co-op. But I'm really looking forward to the game. It's just
I just don't see how they don't.
It's just got to be a server.
That isn't included, you know.
It's just got to be a server thing for them. I'm sure it was just, but they should have warned Microsoft before they talk about making it exclusive and then fucking it up like that. So
yeah, but it does look fun.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's going to be the game we actually remember out of the Summer of Arcade, honestly, from what the reviews are saying. But I'm kind of partial to adventure games like that. So, I was going around some of the geek art blogs recently and came across a bunch of artwork that was inspired by Mega Man, but placed Mega Man back in the Dark Ages and kind of redid all of the robot bosses and all and Dr. Wily and Mega Man in kind of a medieval style. And it was just really, really cool. So I wanted to point that out, and I'll put a link up on the site to it. But it just got me excited to think about trying to take other series to different time frames, especially like more of these kind of, you know, sci-fi or fantasy type series, and place them elsewhere. And I play a medieval Mega Man game. So anyway, if you guys have come across any cool geek or video game related art, I always love to take a look at that. And we're always looking for iCulture posts for the site. So, all right, that's going to do it for tonight. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. Very informative discussion about movies and games. And if anybody takes any of our ideas and applies them to a movie or game, you're going to owe us some royalties. Just going to throw out that caveat there. But you guys take it easy, and we will see everyone next Wednesday.
Peace.
Bye.
Au revoir.